According to the definition of the word sexist, Srila Prabhupada was sexist, as are his books that we accept as truth. And not only do we accept them as truth, but on Srila Prabhupada's order and according to his desire, we distribute them very widely so that people can also become aware of this truth. Srila Prabhupada did not, as according to Shastra, Srila Prabhupada did not speak only on principles that can be considered directly spiritual, but also on various matters pertaining to this world, including quite extensively on matters of social organization, as Krishna himself does in Bhagavad Gita. Probably the most distributed of all of Srila Prabhupada's books is Bhagavad Gita, as it is. I'm not sure in Europe if that is the case. Is that so? In Germany also? You'd have to see the whole history. Certainly in India it is, and India is, sorry folks, way ahead of everywhere else in book distribution. And therein, Srila Prabhupada also discusses topics in a manner that would be considered sexist, and in fact, the text of Bhagavad Gita itself would be considered so. For instance, in chapter 1, text 40, Arjuna says to Krishna, remember this is early in the Bhagavad Gita, so if anyone's reading, they would get this fairly soon. They're reading from the beginning. Adharma, adharma bhibhavat Krishna pradushyanti kulastriyaha strishu dushtasu varshneya jayate varna sankara. When irreligion is prominent in the family, O Krishna, the women of the family become polluted, and from the degradation of womanhood, O descendant of Rishni, comes unwanted progeny. Now that might not sound to all of you like a directly sexist statement, but for those who advocate liberal values, the idea inherent in this statement that women can become polluted by mixing with sexual partners other than their husband, they consider that to be sexist, because it's a restriction on women that they should be married and stick to one husband. See how immoral these people are, actually. The idea that women have become degraded by having different sexual partners. Srila Prabhupada's purport. Oh, actually, I think I'll say a little more about that. There's a point that Srila Prabhupada often made about Varna Sankara. That means all of us, by the way. Generations. A firm pedigree of being Varna Sankara. Srila Prabhupada spoke about this, about the need to have good progeny in society. That goes also with Krishna's statement in the 16th chapter that some people are born divine and some people are born demoniac. Or they have qualities. That's okay. I haven't thought of that before. That's an important point. Okay. So to have good progeny, it's required that the dharma be maintained in society, and dharma cannot be maintained if there is illicit sex. Illicit sex means sexual activity. Minimally, it means sexual activity outside of marriage. And marriage doesn't just mean a man and a woman coming together, but there are certain specified ways which are acceptable for them to come together. And it certainly doesn't mean, according to dharma, it was unimaginable in the world until recently that a man could marry a man or a woman could marry a woman. It hasn't. According to the religious institution that marriage is all over the world, or always has been, there can be no marriage between man and man and woman and woman. It's a redefinition of the whole concept of marriage. So Srila Prabhupada's purport. Good population in human society is the basic principle for peace, prosperity, and spiritual progress in life. That's a completely different approach, isn't it, to trying to make laws and trying to educate people in tolerating everything that shouldn't be tolerated. That there should be good population in human society, which begins with parents, giving birth to children, joining together to give. It begins with their consciousness of the parents. And then there should be training of the children by ideal persons. So that requires much discipline. Discipline is not much. This word is not liked by those who are of Varna Sankara type. They think we should have the freedom to do all kinds of what are actually sinful activities. But they think, yeah, we should have the freedom. Even if you say it's sinful, well, okay, but it's my choice to do it. So it's a completely different outlook on life. Good population, I'll read it again. Good population in human society is the basic principle for peace, prosperity, and spiritual progress in life. The Varnashram religion's principles were so designed that the good population would prevail in society for the general spiritual progress of state and community. Prevail suggests that, well, you can't expect everyone to be like that, but at least those who are civilized, who follow Varnashram Dharma, they would be, if not in the majority, but they would be in control. They would have the political power or whatever. Not that they become controlled by lechas and yavanas, as is the case at the present time. Such population depends on the chastity and faithfulness of its womanhood. These are all immensely important statements for understanding why Srila Prabhupada promoted this so much. It's often asked, why is it all about the women? Why don't you tell more about the men, how they should be responsible and this and that? Well, here's the answer. Good population depends on the chastity and faithfulness of its womanhood. So women have a very responsible role to be good wives and mothers, because if they're not, then the next generation will be uncivilized, and it gets worse generation by generation. We see that in the present day, those of us who in this life have reached the age of 40 or above, then we can look back and see how in one generation society has degenerated. So there may be various reasons for that. Srimad Bhagavatam, it says it's by the powerful influence of time, in Kali Yuga everything degrades. Tatas chanu dinam dharma satyam shocham. Kshamadaya kalena balina rajan nang shantyayor balang smritihi. By the powerful influence of time in Kali Yuga, day by day, all good things, beginning with dharma, will decrease. Dharma, truth, dharma will decrease. The whole concept of dharma, I can't really get into that now, but it's usually translated as religion, but it's a whole big package. It means proper behavior, principle living, and so many things. So dharma decreases, truthfulness decreases day by day. The sense of cleanliness decreases, tolerance decreases, mercy decreases, the lifespan decreases, physical strength decreases, and mental strength decreases. These are the influence of the age of Kali. Now, how does this all come about? There's the efficient cause and the instrumental cause, and this is analyzed in Sankhya philosophy. So the instrumental cause or the background cause is the influence of the age of Kali, but that's affected through people. And with each generation, we see the people are getting worse. Why is that? Because, well, people of degraded consciousness give birth to children of more degraded consciousness. And it goes on, generation by generation. Therefore, the Krishna conscious movement is essential for changing the course of human society. And this is a major part of it. Srila Prabhupada often said that he wanted to train people of character. First-class men. If they're first-class men, they can protect women. This is Arjuna's point here, that the women will be unprotected. So the men are supposed to protect the women. And the women are also supposed to be very chaste and faithful. And together they give birth. Giving birth to children is an extremely important part. Every civilization that has survived for a considerable time has given great stress to producing children. In the modern Western world, it's just considered a nuisance. So this modern Western civilization is doomed. Apart from its degradation, which dooms it, its unwillingness to produce children means that it's just going to be overwhelmed by those who are willing to do so. Anyway, continuing, Srila Prabhupada writes, as children are very prone to be misled, women are similarly very prone to degradation. We'll read more about that later. Therefore, both children and women require protection by the elder members of the family. By being engaged in various religious practices, women will not be misled into adultery. These are all immensely important statements, which a whole seminar could be given on every single sentence, but we have to move on. Many of the points I'll come back to and cover later. According to Chanakya Pandit, women are generally not very intelligent and therefore not trustworthy. Remember, and this is all for the point of making the point that Srila Prabhupada and his books and Shastra and the culture built around that is sexist. So to say that women are generally not very intelligent and therefore not trustworthy, well, there you go. That's sexist. So the different family traditions of religious societies should always engage them, and thus their chastity and devotion will give birth to a good population eligible for participating in the varnashram system. On the failure of such varnashram dharma, naturally the women become free to act and mix with men. And thus, adultery is indulged in at the risk of unwanted population. Irresponsible men also provoke adultery in society, and thus unwanted children flood the human race at the risk of war and pestilence. So what's the root core of war? Tell the United Nations. They're supposed to be stopping wars. That's the idea of the United Nations. The reason the United Nations was formed. But as Srila Prabhupada often said, if you bring a group of dogs together and they'll just snarl at each other and bark and growl. So if human beings, supposed to be human beings, are in the consciousness of dogs, then you can't expect them to act in a manner any more salutary than that of dogs. In the Bhagavad Gita, again, in the chapter 16, text 7, in his purport, this verse is pravritting cha nivritting cha janana vidura saraha na satyam na picha charo na satyam teshu vidyate. Krishna says, speaking about the demons, they do not know what is proper behavior and what is improper behavior. They have no discrimination. Neither truthfulness, nor cleanliness, nor proper behavior are found in them. So there's no specific mention in there about women or attitudes towards women, but Srila Prabhupada brings it up in the purport. He specifically introduces this as a prominent example of how demons in the present age are messing up the world. Srila Prabhupada writes in his purport, in the Manu Sanghita, it is clearly stated that a woman should not be given freedom. That does not mean that women are to be kept as slaves, but they are like children. The demons have now neglected such injunctions, and they think that women should be given as much freedom as men. However, this has not improved the social condition of the world. This, according to people who level charges of sexism, is blatantly, grossly, openly, irresponsibly, unpardonably, and you can add in through a few more adjectives if you can think of some, sexist. Women should not be given freedom. They should not be given as much freedom as men. In Vedic culture, men also don't have nearly as much freedom as they do in the modern age. Brahmanas, they have freedom to a large extent. But if they misuse it, then they're given that freedom because they're expected not to misuse it. If they misuse it, then they're stripped from the status of being a brahmana. So in another sense, they don't also. So generally within our movement in the present day, we avoid such discussions. It used to be more prominent in our movement, but in a sometimes in a very imbalanced way. I must have been 1975 or 1976. I was living at the erstwhile Berry Place Temple of ISKCON in London. It was very cramped quarters. Many brahmacharis were living there. Many brahmacharinis were living there also. Although among the men, we didn't speak about the women much, but there was a general sense of, as I perceived it, a general sense of great respect for the Matajis, who were all engaged in caring for the deities, Radha, Lalan, Ishwar, so who everyone loved. One sannyasi came to the temple, and he gave a class, very heavy class, about how women are all bad and all this kind of thing. And at the end, one brahmachari asked, well, aren't we supposed to see women as our mothers? And he replied, no, you should see them as tigresses come to suck your blood. So among the brahmacharis, we didn't say anything, but we didn't feel very happy about that. So these statements should not be used as a stick to beat women. Then we become under the bodily concept of life. We should understand that we have achieved different roles with different bodies and according to our previous actions, and that everyone who takes to devotional service is glorious. Doesn't matter whether they're in a male body or a female body. But at the same time, we should be aware of these points of social understanding as Srila Prabhupada made us aware. Yeah, so we shouldn't avoid such discussions. There is one point. One devotee told me that there was in Vrindavan one prominent sannyasi in our movement. He was had the class to give Bhagavatam class, and he read the verse, and it had some statement like this, some controversial, what might be considered controversial statement about women. And he read it and he said, I'm just paraphrasing now, as the devotee told me, this could be considered something quite controversial. And he laughed, and then he didn't speak on it at all. He just avoided speaking on it. But Chaitanya Charitamrita states, Siddhanta bolya chitte na karaha alash eha hoite Krishna lage surira manosh. I don't exactly remember the English translation. I should have got it printed, but Srila Prabhupada translates it something like this, that one should not avoid such discussions considering them controversial. He uses that word controversial, which doesn't actually come in the Bengali of the verse. Srila Prabhupada, he states that because issues are controversial, we should not avoid discussing them. For by discussing them, which means discussing them in the light of Guru, the teachings of Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra, then the mind becomes firmly attached to Krishna, which is what we're supposed to be doing here, having our mind become firmly attached to Krishna. So now I'll read many. Now means beginning from now, because I'm not going to finish this within the next half hour or so. There'll be some other sessions. I'll read many quotes of Srila Prabhupada, and after that from various shastras. Much of it will be difficult to accept unless we accept that Srila Prabhupada is a perfect person with perfect vision, and that we need to hear from him, which is the only way to hear from Srila Prabhupada, if we're actually to benefit from hearing from him. If we don't accept that, then our hearing will actually be offensive. Srila Prabhupada, he said that he is giving perfect knowledge because he heard it from the perfect source. He didn't claim inherent perfection in himself, but we accept him as the great Mahabhagavat Paramahamsa who Krishna has sent and who Krishna inspired to do as he did and to speak as he did. So we have to hear submissively with the understanding that all that we have learned from this demoniac society is demoniac and bogus. We have to hear from the perfect source. If we accept Srila Prabhupada's teachings as he expected his disciples to accept them, because that's what a disciple is supposed to do, is to accept them. Otherwise there's no point in being a disciple. Then, according to the outlook of modern liberal society, we also become sexist. So it's a great test, because it's difficult to go against the grain. We don't like to go against everything that people in general consider to be right, especially when they're so vehement on certain points. some devotees might think that I shouldn't speak on all these points. It's okay, it's there in the books. If anyone wants to read it, they can read it. And why make an issue of it? It's too controversial. In this regard, Srila Prabhupada said in a lecture, quoting, yes, Srila Prabhupada said that we should discuss these specific issues. He quotes Tulsidas. He says, Tulsidas is a big poet in Hindi language. He has written the Ramcharitmanas. His opinion, not only his opinion, that is the Vedic opinion. He says, Dhul Gama Sudra Pasunari A Sab Shashan Ke Adhikari. Srila Prabhupada doesn't translate it there. Dhul means a drum, gama means I don't know what, sudra is Hindi for shudra, pasu is Hindi for pashu, animal, and nari means woman, and he said they're all fit for beating. Drum is fit for beating, shudra, an animal, and a woman. So Srila Prabhupada goes on to say, shashan literally means discipline. So this statement will not be very palatable to the Western girls. They want independence. In Chicago, when I was there, they talked about independence of the woman. They asked me a question. So I replied, no, women cannot be given independence. So there was great agitation against me. In many papers, I was very much criticized. But actually, it is the fact, because they are innocent, not so intelligent. These are all practical. We may avoid discussing, but Bhagavat is very open for discussing all subject matter. That is fact. We should not hide anything artificially. We must discuss the fact. Not only here, the mention it is in this Manu Sanhita. Manu Sanhita recommends a woman should not be given independence. For their interest, they must be protected by father, husband and sons, because if they are polluted, they become very dangerous. Chanakya Pandit has said that Dushta Bharya Shatang Mitrang Prichas Chotara Dayakaha Sasarpe Chakrihe Vaso Mrityur Eva Nasangshayaha. If the wife is not chaste and one's friend is a cheater or Shatam means duplicity, not very sincere friend. Outwardly, he's showing he's a very good friend, but inwardly, he has got some other intention. Such friend, duplicity, and unchaste wife, dushta bharya shatang mitram, and bhrityas chotara dayakaha, and servant giving reply, that means the servant argues with you, and sasarpe cha grihe vasa, and in your home, in your room, if there is a snake. Of course, in this big concrete building, there is no question of snake, but in cottages, huts made with mud, earth, there are sometimes snakes. So, Chanakya Pandit said, if you live with a dushta bharya and a duplicity friend and an answer-giving servant and a snake, then you are sure to die sometime. You'll be cheated. So these things are there. The purpose that our mind is like that. Pungschali, unchaste wife. Not that everyone is unchaste. We have got many examples, the character of woman. It is not that. It is not generalization. But there is chance. If they are not controlled, not properly educated, there is chance of becoming pungschali. And there have been many instances that woman, for being attracted by paramour, has killed even one's own son. There are cases. So Bhishma Dev also advised that the shyness of woman, Lajja is the control. If you break that shyness, then there will be disaster. Yeah, Lajja. Someone has translated as shyness. It means keeping themselves in the background. That is the control valve naturally given. And woman's shyness is one beauty. That means that's paraphrasing a Sanskrit verse that what is that? Nari Vibhushanam Lajja. Lajja and Nari Vibhushanam. Yeah, the ornament of a woman is her shyness. We have practical experience in our life. My friend came, Dinanath Mishra, my neighbor. So one day we were sitting on the corridor of a house. One sweeper woman, that's cleaning woman, she wanted to come, but she was very shy and covering her head. Although she had a broomstick and bucket, means she was very low class, low caste. She was waiting because we were sitting on both sides. So she was feeling a little shy not to enter the house because she'd have to go very close to them. So she didn't want to come. So we decided to move so that she may come. She is a sweeper, not very respectable. But on account of her shyness, we had to welcome. Yes, we are moving. You come in. So the high class men had to move to facilitate the shyness of the low caste woman. This is psychology. Therefore, Bhishma Dev at his dying stage advised that a woman's shyness is the valve to control. If their shyness is broken, then it will create disaster. Pungschali. Pungschali, Srila Prabhupada is discussing, is one kind of woman who, it literally means moves a man. It means a loose woman, prostitute type. This is their psychology. So things are changing nowadays everywhere, not only in India and other countries also, but this is the psychology. So all these examples are given. Why? Just to control the mind. In Hindi, there is a proverb that money and wife should always be kept in control. There are so many examples, and I'll give plenty in this seminar. So, at the beginning of this quote, Srila Prabhupada says that these things should be discussed. Not that they should not be discussed, they should be discussed. So there's going to be quite a dose in this seminar, and you think, well, it's too much. Well, if we consider that it should be discussed, it's hardly ever discussed. And if you put it with all the rest of the discussions that haven't gone on in our movement all these years, then it's not too much. Srila Prabhupada, as he mentioned in this lecture, the lecture I just read is from November 1976. Srila Prabhupada mentioned how in Chicago there was a great agitation against me because Srila Prabhupada spoke to the newspaper and TV interviewers against feminism. He was very open about it. He didn't hide it. It was a TV interview in July of 1975 in Chicago. So it's a woman interviewer, and she's asking, what is the role? Srila Prabhupada is talking about society, how there should be first class. They should be divided into first class man, second class, third class, and fourth class. Means Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra. And the woman asked, and what is the position of women? Because Prabhupada is talking about first class men. So she asked, what's the position of women? Why on? Prabhupada said, women's position is subordinate to man. Woman is meant for assisting man. Woman reporter, would you say that women are inferior to men? Prabhupada, yes. Woman reporter, why? Prabhupada, by physiological condition. Your bodily features are different from the man's features. You cannot deny it. So according to the bodily features, the psychological condition and everything is there. How can you deny it? And Srila Prabhupada often explained that the woman's body is, in that Women's Masters and Mothers seminar, went through this in some detail, how the woman's body is designed by nature to give, means by Krishna, to give birth to children, and her nature is also to want to protect and care for the children. She has to feed the children with her mother's milk, and therefore she requires, that's one reason she requires protection and maintenance by men. So the woman reporter, continuing, "Do you think I am inferior to you?" Prabhupada, definitely she's inferior to Prabhupada. It just shows she's less intelligent by not accepting that. Prabhupada, it is not the question of inferior or superior. Different. Now you take one inferior. Now you take one inferior or superior. In other words, you take one to be inferior or superior. That is your calculation. But the bodily features are different. That is materially. But spiritually, they are all one. Materially, just like your bodily feature and a man's bodily feature is different. Now, so far the question of inferior, superior, that is your calculation. But we say that by nature, a woman and man is different. Woman reporter. What does this mean as far as whether women can do the same things that men can do, or whether women can lead people? Prabhupada. Well, women can bear children, but the man cannot. Is it possible to bear children that a man can become pregnant? Is it possible? Woman reporter, no. Srila Prabhupada, physically, therefore there are so many things which are possible in man which is not possible in woman by nature. How can you say that they are of the same nature? Woman reporter, I'm not saying the same. What can, and Prabhupada cuts her out and says, then if you are not saying that, then they are different in their physiological condition. So now this physiological condition you may calculate. This is better or this is better. That is your calculation. Our calculation is the man and woman are different in their physiological condition. Woman reporter, but you say that you say women are subordinate to men. Prabhupada, yes, that is also natural. Because when the husband and wife are there, or the father and daughter is there, so the daughter is subordinate to the father and the wife is subordinate to the husband. Woman reporter. What happens when women are not subordinate to men? Prabhupada, you can imagine for this woman reporter, she couldn't imagine that anyone would say all these things. When women are not subordinate to men, Prabhupada, then there is disruption, social disruption. If the woman does not become subordinate to man, then there is social disruption. Therefore, in the Western countries, there are so many divorce cases because the woman does not agree to become subordinate to man. That is the cause. Woman reporter, what advice do you have to women who do not want to be subordinate to men? Prabhupada, it is not my advice, but it is advice, the advice of the Vedic knowledge that woman should be chaste and faithful to man. And the woman reporter is opposing this, which Srila Prabhupada says, the natural order that women should be chaste and faithful, which was in any culture all over the world until recently was considered dignified, and not to be like that was very low class and disturbing in society. Woman reporter, what should we do in the United States? We're trying to make women equal with men. Prabhupada, I am not trying. You are already not equal with the man because in so many respects your functions are different and man's functions are different. Why do you say artificially they are equal? As I told you, that the husband and wife, the wife has to become pregnant, not the husband. How can you change this? Both the husband and wife will be pregnant. Is it possible? Is it possible? Woman reporter, no, it is not. Prabhupada, then by nature one has to function differently from other. Woman reporter, but why does this mean? Prabhupada, so how can you change? Woman reporter, why does this mean that women have to be subordinate? Prabhupada, yes, woman reporter, just because they bear children and men can't. Prabhupada, well, by nature, as soon as you get children, you require support from the husband. Otherwise, you're in difficulty. So, easy things to understand, actually. Woman reporter, many women have children and no support from their husbands. They have no husband. Prabhupada, then they have to take support from others. You cannot deny that. The government is giving you support, but the government is embarrassed. If the husband supports the wife and children, the government is relieved of so much welfare contribution. So that is a problem. Woman reporter, what happens when women support men? Prabhupada, first of all, try to understand that you depend. After man and woman unite, there is children, and if the man goes away, you are embarrassed. The woman is embarrassed. Why is this made possible? A man and woman unite, and the woman becomes pregnant, and the husband goes away. Then the poor woman is embarrassed with the child. She has to beg from the government. So, do you think it is a very nice thing? The Vedic idea is that a woman should be married to a man, and the man should take charge of the woman and the children independently, so they do not become a burden to the government or to the public. Very straightforward. Man and woman have children, and the man has to look after them. He has to do some work and support the family. Woman reporter, do you think the social unrest? Prabhupada, I am thinking like this. You give me the answer. Simply go on questioning. I question you. Do you think this burden to the government or the public is good? Woman reporter, no. Prabhupada, so that has happened. Because the woman does not agree to be subordinate, she wants equal freedom, so the husband goes away and the woman is embarrassed with the children and it becomes a burden to the government. Woman reporter, is there anything wrong when the woman works? Prabhupada, there are so many things wrong, but the first thing is the wife, the woman, the wife of somebody and the child born by somebody, they should not become a, should they become a burden to the government or the public? First of all, answer this thing. Why should she become a burden to the government? What is your answer? Woman reporter, well, men are a burden to the government too. Prabhupada, do you think from the social point of view this position of the woman and fatherless children are a very nice thing? No. Woman reporter, what I'm trying to say is that this may happen to some women. I'm talking about women who are not. Prabhupada, no. These are the general cases. You cannot say some. I see in America mostly the women, which is now that now in America, most children, a majority of children, are raised by their mothers without their biological fathers. It's come to that. It's become a normal thing. Young devotees come to me in America and tell me, just like it's completely normal, that, yeah, I never knew my father and my mother's a drug addict and... just like it's the most normal thing. Which is, they don't think there's anything unusual about it. That's what society's come to. That's the great advantage of the liberal society. Woman reporter. Then what you're saying is not all women should be subordinate to all men. Prabhupada, no. Man should be subordinate to the man, woman, so that the man can take charge of the woman. That's not clear. Though. Then that woman is not a problem to the public. But she understood the point, actually, that Prabhupada didn't say that all women should be subordinate to all men. One woman has to be subordinate to her husband, not she's subordinate to all men. Woman reporter, is it true for all women and all men? Prabhupada, yes, that is the nature. You take even in the dogs. The dogs, they also take care of their children. The tigers, they take care of their children. So in the human society, if the woman is made pregnant and the man goes away and she is embarrassed, she has to beg from the government. That is not a very good situation. Woman reporter, what about women who do not have children? That's very common in the modern age. Prabhupada, that is another unnatural thing. Sometimes they use contraceptives. They kill children, abortion. That is also not very good. These are all sinful activities. These are sinful activities to kill the child in the womb and take shelter of abortion. These are all sinful activities. Prabhupada said that three times in one sentence. One has to suffer for that. woman reporter, is the social unrest in this country caused because, Prabhupada, because of these things? They do not know that. Woman reporter. And if women were subordinate to men, it would solve all of our problems? Seems that she's asking that in a sarcastic way. Prabhupada's answer, yes. That's a major statement, isn't it? Man wants that a woman should be subordinate, faithful to him. Then he is ready to take charge. The man's mentality and woman's mentality are different. So if the woman agrees to remain faithful and subordinate to man, then the family life will be peaceful. Woman reporter, you have different schools for men and women, is that correct? Prabhupada, yes. Man is regulated to become a first-class man, and woman is regulated to become a very chaste and faithful wife. Then the life will be very successful. And marriage, compulsory. Every woman at least should be married. Therefore, according to Vedic conception, polygamy is allowed, because every woman must be married. But every man may not be married. Therefore, a man has to accept more than one wife. Woman reporter, there is one question I have for you. You say that a woman's brain is smaller than a man's. Prabhupada, yes, that is a fact. In the history, there is no woman who is a big philosopher, a big mathematician, big scientist, big educationist. We don't find they were all men. Woman reporter, what about women who are leaders of countries, such as your own country, Indira Gandhi at the time? Prabhupada, well, according to Vedic conception, woman is never offered leadership. But experience has shown that woman's leadership has not been successful. Woman reporter, do you think that Mrs. Gandhi's leadership has not been successful? Prabhupada, well, there is already trouble. There are many big men, they do not agree with her, and she has taken emergency steps. So on the whole, the country is in trouble. Yeah, although she was democratically elected, Indira Gandhi at that time had unilaterally declared a state of emergency. There was a period called the emergency where she became just like the dictator of the country, actually, at that time when this interview was going on. Woman reporter, what about Mrs. Mir, president of Israel? Prabhupada, I do not say of any particular woman, but according to Vedic civilization, we have never seen in history that a woman has become a leader. Woman reporter, women have been leaders. Prabhupada, they were not selected. The leader, formerly it was monarchy, the monarchs were selected by the advisory board of the first class men. So they never selected any woman to become the leader of the society. Woman reporter, what about women who are elected by the people? And Prabhupada's response is to say that, well, this democracy anyway, it's all nonsense. Prabhupada, well, people's election, just like you elected Nixon, and then you wanted him to come down. So this kind of election has no value. Sometimes elect and sometimes you pull down. So what is the value of this election? A woman reporter, so a leader should not be elected. This is just, you know, it's just more than she could imagine that. Women should not be equal, they're less intelligent, democracy is bogus, it's just the most unimaginable interview. Prabhupada is straightforward about it. So Srila Prabhupada said, yes, elected leaders should be elected, but not by this general public. They have no intelligence. This is in 1, 2, 3, 4. In four words, Srila Prabhupada has demonstrated the whole problem with democracy. And people think, democracy, oh, wonderful. We were in the jungles as monkeys, and then we developed and we stood up and we became human beings, and then we became democratic. This is the highest level of human civilization. But Prabhupada said, the general public have no intelligence. Which is a fact. I won't get into it now, but it's quite clear. They sometimes elect a wrong man and again they drag him down. So what is the use of such an election? Because that election is not sober or not mature. If the election was mature and sober, then there was no need of dragging him down again. Woman's reporter. We have talked to scientists who say that the size of the brain has nothing to do with intelligence. Do you believe that? And then there's a whole discussion about brain sizes and this and that, which I'll skip over. And Prabhupada said that, now, can you give any evidence that woman has become more powerful than man during these 50 years? Woman reporter, yes. What is that? Give me some tacit example. Woman reporter, that she and I, that means she's the reporter and the cameraman was a camera woman, that she and I wouldn't be here if women were more powerful than they were 50 years ago. And Hari Krishna said, now they are talking louder. And laughter. And then the woman says, than you, thank you. And then they leave. And Hari Krishna said, they think that because the ego has increased, the brain has also increased. And Srila Prabhupada accepted, oh, that's nice. He thought that was... So to become angry means defeat. If two persons are in argument, the man, one party becomes angry, that means he is defeated. Why should one become angry? It is argument, logic. They should continue. And to become angry and to go away, that means defeat. So, just reading this to give an example of how Srila Prabhupada discussed these issues not only in private, but he was willing to do so in public. Some devotees say that after this, because it produced so much bad publicity, Prabhupada didn't speak these things anymore. But we don't see any sign of reticence in Srila Prabhupada. In fact, there's a conversation, part of which I'll read from the next day after this interview, in which Srila Prabhupada talks about how we have to introduce for the daughters of our devotees how they should be trained to be faithful wives and all this kind of thing. So that's the introduction. And beginning in the next section, I will read various quotes from Srila Prabhupada about the position of women. There'll be somewhat overlapping themes. Again, the point is to make the point that even though we may try to avoid it or try to indirectly oppose it, the fact is that Vedic culture, derived from Shastra, presented to us by Srila Prabhupada, is, according to the definition of the word sexist, it is sexist. And again, what you do with it, or how we as a movement deal with it, that is another issue. But we cannot deny that the outlook of our movement on a wide range of issues, including this one, is very different from that of much of the world today. It's not just that we're vegetarian. There's a lot more to Krishna consciousness than that. So, so I'm just attempting to create some awareness of this. So, Hare Krishna. And now there should be breakfast prasadam is served. Then at 10 o'clock, the Abhishekam. That will go on for about 1 hour, is it? Something like that. And then at 4:30, I can continue with this until 6:30 Arati. And then maybe I'll continue after that also. Maybe I'll do it somewhere else. And those who want to continue with Kirtan can continue with Kirtan. It's a heavy subject, no doubt. At a festival, we all come together, we want to sing and dance and be happy, but these things should be discussed sometime, at least once in the history of the Krishna consciousness movement. Actually, it should be known and discussed regularly, but because it's not, I put a whole seminar together, and it should be discussed in a somewhat sober way, although the very nature of the subject matter is that However we try to present it, some people will become upset. What can we do? Hare Krishna. All glories to His divine grace, Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.